Hello. You're listening to the audio feed of The Demos, a series of essays about an anarchist's plan to end finance capitalism and replace it with an egalitarian union of equal members so that real democracies can actually function within the nations comprising that union. This article was originally published on March 28th, 2025, and you can find the text version online at readthebean.net/blog.html. Today's episode is titled, The Plan to Save the World. Poor and working class people look the IMF in the eye and don't blink. The Plan to Save the World. Poor and working class people look the IMF in the eye and don't blink. Not sure how to go about organizing what amounts to a revolution, but I do have a plan. The plan is to build a transnational agreement to petition the IMF and World Bank to be restructured, the specifics of which are key, at threat of an economic solidarity strike. Nothing I'm imagining is new, but no one else is saying all of this in this order, and someone needs to do that. The restructuring is essentially the institution that was originally proposed by Keynes in preparation for the Bretton Woods Conference. But at the time, Keynes was merely the representative from the lowly UK and was, like everyone else at the meeting, besides the US representative, politically subordinate to the state that had just ascended to the coveted position of global hegemon, the United States. Therefore, Keynes's thoughtful and egalitarian proposal was butchered within an inch of its life into a defunct version of itself that lacked everything that had made it reasonable and effective in the first place, in favor of maintaining U.S. dominance, not least of which of financial markets, primary commodity trades, and currency exchange. Thus was born what is now the IMF and the World Bank. Even if we all hate the idea of being governed by such a global financial autocracy, the fact is that we are. And it will take a lot of popular determination to see it change. But I don't think we have much else to desire at this point. Those institutions have been functioning as an international government mediated by monetary policies rooted in the ascendance of the US in 1944, and if we want justice, then we must participate in a democratic process of restructuring them into an egalitarian union. The plan, as I said broadly, is to form a widespread public agreement to restructure those institutions, and to threaten a huge solidarity strike and consumption strike as leverage with them. The build-up to this point will be difficult and will require a lot of infrastructure building, solidarity collectives, sharing of resources, and keeping the faith. But at least we have a blueprint of what we want to strike for. If only Yanis Varoufakis had published The Global Minotaur a few years earlier, David Graeber would have read it, and everyone at Occupy Wall Street would have known exactly what we were protesting for. It would have been what Keynes proposed originally: established agreements to automatically recycle surplus beyond a strict threshold, the international institution of a public regulatory clearing union with a common currency, not controlled by one state, as the global reserve currency is now by the US Fed, but agreed upon and shared to act as controls applied equally by and between all member states. The primary purpose of such institution is to recycle deficits and surpluses, because that is the only way to avoid the obvious outcome of arbitrary inequities, which history has shown us time and time again make certain states dictators and others debt peons. To institute the plan in 1944, however, the U.S., represented by the Fed's Harry Dexter White, would have had to say, okay, even though right now I have the most political power, I will relinquish that power to establish with everyone else an order in which we all agree that no one or minority of states can accrue so much surplus as to enslave other states, and no state will be left to deteriorate into a debt peon of the richer states. Let us be a union of equals and codify the protocols to ensure we remain that way as we exchange and mediate trade of our world's resources, because the health of any one of our aspiring democracies depends naturally on the health of every other one of in the international market, within which all of us depend on global supply chains, and our success and internal balance depend on that of each other's. The mechanisms of an international currency and clearing union, or ICU, to recycle debts and surpluses, amount to the kinds of things that are currently, and since that time, used to increase the power of surplus countries at the expense of the debtor nations, whose debts only increase, as the IMF's only measure to correct the imbalance is to saddle those places with more debt, framed as some kind of benevolent loan it knows will never be repaid. This has all been complicated by the fact that because the U.S. declared itself the global reserve currency issuer, despite at first trying to dress that up by pegging a fixed number of USD to an ounce of gold, it's had to contend with the problems described by the Triffin dilemma, and for a long time only managed to maintain its position of authority in international monetary policy by increasing its deficits and creating industries abroad, wholly driven by its fattening up of its own domestic consumption. This whole situation is best described in The Global Minotaur, but in any case, Keynes's original plan was a good one, and when I talk about it, a lot of people think I'm somehow in favor of the IMF and World Bank, but my suggestion implies and demonstrates the opposite. It's just that there is no need to talk of destroying institutions when building international protocols for recycling debts and surplus is ongoing and necessary, with or without that language. And it is just as true and less likely to justify violent state retaliation against quote-unquote terrorism to state that what we need to do is make our international institutions democratically controlled and fundamentally egalitarian and regulatory as they are supposedly designed to be, instead of autocratic as they effectively function now. Now, I get that the military-industrial complex effectively uses the IMF and World Bank as a front for its warmongering and profiteering. Therefore, my addition to Keynes's original proposal is that the poor and working class people of the world, you and me, and any and all people who understand the point of this turn, really, collectively petition for this transformation by leveraging our collective economic activity. That is, by demonstrating coordination and threatening, and perhaps also enacting, as examples, some smaller versions of global strikes in labor and consumption if the restructuring proposed in the petition is not promptly instituted. The plan involves, therefore, a massive movement where a critical mass of people must understand and appreciate how the International Currency Union, or the ICU, that we will petition works, and how to see when it has been implemented and how to control its ongoing functions accordingly, all of which requires some significant infrastructure building and repurposing, and in particular, free software development. But theoretically, it can succeed if a critical mass is reached and the infrastructure is repurposed accordingly. And if I'm right about how people think, even those in positions like president of the IMF, I guess if I was trying to change the world by changing the minds of the people who own and operate weapons manufacturing firms and militaries, I don't think I could persuade them to lose their jobs or become pacifists or something like that. But I think I know enough about how people like those who run the IMF think and need to see themselves in the public eye to figure out it is possible to force their hand. And I think the military-industrial complex folks are happy just to do what they're told by the money printers. That is, after all, the whole point of violence, power and freedom. So if it is possible to ensure those things without necessarily depending on industrial-scale bodily violence, why wouldn't we try that route as well? I know to some I will sound ridiculous, perhaps, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to write this essay that I can't find as precisely constructed elsewhere. But try to hear me out, and I don't know, imagine it doesn't sound stupid for a moment, if that was your first instinct. Thinking about activism through the lens of the internal family systems model of trauma treatment is extremely useful here, so I will write about that in my next blog. But to get to the point of why I think it makes sense to form a grassroots movement that aims to change things from the top down in a discursive, even legalistic way, I will say, if no one is out of a job or vilified in the process, I think the process has a good chance of working and laying the foundation for the rebuilding of society to treat everyone's life with respect and to manage our shared resources wisely as a team with the same non-human common enemies. But it will not happen if I can't figure out how to communicate it and organize with people, so please help. In solidarity, Rachel E.S. Lucia.